We are in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will pick up here our study through 2 Timothy. Let's pick it up in verse number 6 and read down through verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Father, we thank you for your word and the things we can learn from it. Father, as we live here in the last days, we just pray that you'll help us as we study about these last days here in your word. Father, help us to understand the things you have for us, that we might be better equipped and have a greater knowledge to serve you in this day and age. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have the title of the message tonight is simply The Nature of Religious Counterfeiters. The Nature of Religious Counterfeiters. Now, to really grasp what's going on here in this passage that we read, we've got to just quickly go back up to verse number 1 and down. In verse number 1 here in chapter 3, he says that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he goes on and describes what those days will look like by describing what men will be like. And we looked at that last week, spent a lot of time there. And so he's talking about the last days and how evil and how wicked men will become. And then he concludes that first section of this thought up in verse number 5, talking about these days. He says, having a form of godliness. In other words, they're religious. They're counterfeits. And that's perhaps the key word today, and maybe I should have used it more than I will here, but we're looking at the religious counterfeits as described right here in verse number 5, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, what is the power of godliness? The answer may not necessarily be exactly what you think. The power of godliness is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who reveals God's Word to us. He's the one who convicts us of our sin and our shortcomings. He's the one who then empowers us to do the right thing and to instill godliness into our lives. And they deny the Holy Spirit of God. You know, there's a number of cults out there today that reject the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the deity of the Holy Spirit. There's the Jehovah's Witnesses, perhaps are the most well-known, but there's others as well. Many that you can watch on television preachers, essentially deny the Holy Spirit by denying the Trinity. What they believe on the Trinity is that in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself as the Father. During the New Testament, He revealed Himself as the Son. But today, He reveals Himself as the Holy Spirit. But there are not three persons. They're all one, which is true. But they cannot reveal themselves in any other way than as one of those three beings. And so it's a false doctrine that goes all the way back to about the 3rd century, where there was a church council. They met together and they said, this is wrong. This is heresy. And yet many of your television preachers today cling to that false doctrine, denying the power thereof. And so if we were to think that we don't have that many religious counterfeiters in our world today, you're mistaken. You're deceived. You've got a blind eye to what's really going on. If you really look what's going on, a lot of these people, and we're going to see what their character is like, what their nature is like, and hopefully you'll begin to understand that these people are charlatans and counterfeits and don't merit our time. All right, so what is their nature? In verse number 6, first of all, we find out that they're greedy. It tells us, and again, reading verse number 6 of 2 Timothy 3, for this of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. When he begins this verse by saying, of this sort, he's referring back to verse number 5. It says, these are those that are the religious counterfeits, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so
he says there's these leaders out there that are counterfeits, religious leaders, and he says they creep into houses. Now, what does it mean to creep? Now, if someone calls you a creep, they're not giving you a compliment, are they? And when God talks about these individuals creeping into houses, now, in that culture, it would have been men. Today, we've got men and women. The idea is that these are smooth talkers. They work their way in through deceit and through stealth. They don't reveal who they really are. And I've mentioned it a number of times, how Pastor Bucklew went to a meeting one time where one of these famous evangelists, and if I told you his name, probably many of you, if not all of you, would have heard of him, that you can listen to on television. He pastors a church. I called him an evangelist. I meant to call him a televangelist. And the guy didn't preach anything like he preaches on television. And Pastor Bucklew confronted him. He said, "Oh, that's just for the television audience. You see, they're snakes. They're liars. And they don't care." It amazes me that he was willing to admit that to Pastor Bucklew. That he preaches one way on television to get into these houses. It's not the house he's so much that he's interested in. He's everything of value in that house. And so in the cultural setting here, they would get in good graces with, as it seems to indicate, the women of the house, the widows, and convince them that it's a good idea to turn over all of their assets upon their death to the church. Well, the synagogue perhaps, but whoever it might be, in order that they might claim it for themselves. They have nothing but greed in their heart. They have a complete lack of integrity. A complete lack of integrity. You know, that's something that's really slacking today, really missing in our culture today is integrity. That you can find someone who is a man of their word, someone who will do right, even if it hurts them to do right. It's lacking. It's a character of godliness. We can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But these men entirely lack it. And we have those today that entirely lack it that are out for a buck. Think of Benny Hinn, a faith healer. Well, how sincere is he, do you think? I wouldn't give you a nickel for him. I've never listened to Benny Hinn preach for even a couple of words, to the best of my knowledge. I've seen pictures of him, but that's about as far as it's ever gone. And just the pictures of him just repulse me. Because he has more in his clothing, invested in his clothing, than I probably do in my car. And to stand up and say, "I am a man of God," and flaunt wealth like that while trying to beg a nickel out of a widow, just a complete lack of integrity. And that, as I said, repulses me. They creep into houses, smooth talkers, slick talkers. They can deceive, they can trick, they can sound like the real thing, but God says they're counterfeits. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The second thing we find out about them in verse number 6 is they lead captive silly women laden with sins. Now, what does it mean when it's talking about silly women? We have a concept of silly. When our children do goofy things, we say, well, they're just silly. And it's kind of the same idea here. If we were to define it with what God is intending to tell us, He's telling us that they're foolish. He's telling us they're gullible. He's telling us that they are vulnerable. And so He finds them, and it says, and I believe the laden with sins is talking about the women. And so what I'm getting here is to what these men were doing, they were approaching widows of wealth, and they would play on the conviction of the Holy Spirit in these widows' lives for the sin in their lives. And they say, "Hey, I know how you can make it all better. You can buy your way out of judgment." Now, doesn't that kind of sound like a religious system we have that's been prevalent since the early 300s. I'm talking about Roman Catholicism and their doctrine of purgatory. Boy, you can buy your way out of God's judgment. They came up with this cool doctrine, at least cool for them, it's a good money maker, where they tell you that your loved one is burning Even though they professed Christ, and even though they were faithful in church, and even though they prayed and read their Bibles, did everything a Christian ought to do, whether they're saved or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter to the Roman Catholic Church. All they care about is your pocketbook. And so they invented the doctrine that, hey, before they can go to heaven, they've got to go to purgatory and pay for any sin that was unconfessed in their lives. And if you want to get out of purgatory quicker, just give us some money and we'll say a mass. Buying heaven. Just think about the lack of integrity there. If these religious leaders who are absolute counterfeits, did you hear, this is somewhat related, did you hear the Pope is financially helping transgenders who are hurting financially because of the coronavirus? Kind of tells you where he's at, doesn't it? So anyway, you know, these religious counterfeits are showing their lack of integrity, because if they truly were concerned about the souls of men, they wouldn't charge to do it. They absolutely would not charge a fee. Christ came for free, didn't he? When he was hanging on the cross, he didn't say to that thief on the other one, tell me where your booty is so I can get some money out of letting you get to heaven. Tell me where you hid the loot so I can tell my family and they can be taken care of when I'm gone. He didn't say that. The thief confessed, and Jesus said, this day shall be with me in paradise. They lack integrity. They're greedy. The second thing we learn about them is they're ignorant. Ignorant. Ignorant just means to be lacking knowledge. And that's exactly what God says about them here in verse number 7. It says they're ever learning. Boy, what a statement that is. Ever learning. These aren't dumb people. These aren't stupid individuals. These are people that are very wise, very intelligent. That's why it gets so frustrating if you encounter one, because they can debate and they can argue and they know the facts and they have knowledge that oftentimes exceeds our knowledge and our intelligence. Just read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and it won't be quite as frustrating. You'll understand that God saves the foolish. Guess what? That doesn't bode well for us, does it? Doesn't help our self-esteem at all. But God saves the foolish and the unwise and the weak, so that He gets the glory. And so you've got these men that resist the Holy Spirit of God. They reject salvation. And these are the men with intelligence, the women that are smart in this world. And so they can argue and they can present their case and they can present everything. And we are just left thinking, how in the world can I argue with that? They're ever learning. But here's the truth. Now again, I'm talking primarily about religious counterfeits that you'll see on the television or that are standing in pulpits. Well, they would have been standing in pulpits earlier today. They only have one service for the most part. They're ever learning, but notice this, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ignorant. Now why won't they be able to come to the knowledge of the truth? It's because they're lacking the Holy Spirit. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what God says about those that are not in possession of the Holy Spirit of God. Look what He says about His Word. Everything we learn, the knowledge of the truth, comes from God's Word. In verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, God tells us this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. So then the question is, how do we learn these things? Well, God answers that. He says in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them, those things that God has prepared for us, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And that's why these religious counterfeits are never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, simply because they do not possess the Holy Spirit of God, which then doesn't bode well for them later. Because if you're lacking the Holy Spirit of God, you are not saved. Or he goes on to say in verse number 10, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so these religious counterfeits, many of them on television, many of them on the radio, many of them in pulpits across the United States of America, are just simply ignorant. Not unintelligent, not stupid, not dumb, but these are people that are very smart, very intelligent, and yet lacking the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know someone with a very, very low IQ, but having possession of the Holy Spirit of God, can understand God's Word better and get more out of God's Word and understand who God is, can understand all of that better than the most intelligent man on the face of the earth without the Holy Spirit of God? It's just the way it is. Because the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. It's not dependent on what we have between ears. It's dependent on who dwells within our heart. And so we can come to the Word of God. You know what this is called? The doctrinal statement for it is the priesthood of all believers. It's all encompassed in that. And that's been a Baptist distinctive since the New Testament days when Jesus founded His church walking those dusty trails in Galilee. And so we have the Holy Spirit. We're not ignorant. They are. We just need to learn God's Word. We need to apply ourselves. We need to do what? Study to show ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so these men are greedy, lacking integrity. They're ignorant, lacking the Holy Spirit. We see in verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that they're rebellious. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now Jannes and Jambres are believed to have been the magicians that withstood Moses. And what God is telling us here is that just as Jannes and Jambres, or those magicians we read about in the early chapters of Exodus, when Moses went with Aaron and said, God says, let my people go, and Pharaoh, of course, resisted, then God had given Moses some signs to do to prove that he was from God. Well, the magicians, who, as I said, are believed to have been this Jannes and Jambres, they duplicated or counterfeited the miracles that God did through Moses and Aaron. Even the first several plagues, as Moses told Pharaoh, if you don't let them go, here's what God's going to do. Turn the water to blood. That happened. Well, guess what the magicians did? They did the same thing. And they duplicated the first several. And finally came to a point where the magicians tried to duplicate one of those plagues and were unable to. And they had to confess that God in heaven was working through Moses, but not through them. You see, they were exposed, and that is revealed in the next verse, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But what they did, and it's important for us to understand what they did, their methodology was counterfeit. They counterfeited what the man of God did, or what God was doing. And so that's what these religious counterfeits do today. They counterfeit. And their rebellion is exhibited in their resistance to the truth by counterfeiting. They have a church service, a worship service, and they make you feel religious, and they make you feel like you've experienced something holy, but all the while they're denying the power of God. They're denying the Holy Spirit of God, and are nothing but counterfeits. They resist the truth. It implies they had an opportunity to accept the truth. You know, those magicians back in Moses' day could have turned over and looked at Pharaoh and said, look, we're doing this just by deceit and trickery. He's doing the real thing. He is the true man of God. We're charlatans. We're fakes. You better listen to this guy. They had that choice. And guess what they did? They squandered it. Today, the religious counterfeits have an opportunity, and they squander it. They hear that salvation is of grace through faith, not of ourselves, is the gift of God. And they say, no, I don't quite think so. I think Christ was a fake. I think Christ, in order to be earned, I've got to do the sacraments. And they come with all these different plans, rejecting their opportunity, resisting the truth, corrupt minds. This means they are wicked and depraved, having no conscience. You know, deceiving widows. Does it get any lower than that? It really doesn't. Playing on their vulnerability and their gullibility. The widows mean well. They're sincere. And they really want to get right with God. And these men come in and take advantage of the situation. No conscience whatsoever. You wonder how a man could do that. You know, if I experience a man like that, I think I'm just going to choke him until his eyes pop out. And then keep choking a little bit more. And I think that's about how I feel about it, to take advantage of an innocent person like that. But they have no conscience. They don't care. All they care about is padding their bank account. And then God says they're reprobate. At the end of verse number 8, reprobate concerning the truth. Now, we define reprobate as having no opportunity for salvation. All opportunities have passed, but that's not really what the word reprobate means. The word reprobate just simply means having been tested and failed. Having been tested and failed. You know, every once in a while I'd like to have a reprobate in my doctrine class in the Bible Institute where someone is tested, but nobody's ever failed my test. Everybody whines and complains and moans and groans and cries, great big crocodile tears, saying how hard it is, but no one's ever yet failed. I can't figure that one out. As hard as I try to be, I guess I'm just a big softy and let everybody get past. But anyway, these religious counterfeits were tested by God and they failed because they're charlatans, they're counterfeits. And so we see they're rebellious, they're lacking genuine faith, lacking genuine faith. The last thing we see about these religious counterfeits is simply they're mistaken. They're mistaken. They're lacking a future of any kind. Verse number 9 says, but they shall proceed no further. In other words, God's going to stop them in their tracks. Just as Jannes and Jambres had to at one point admit, we can't do what they can do. They're true men of God. We're fakes. That's essentially what they had to say to Pharaoh. God's going to expose them. The second half of verse number 9, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. What God is trying to warn them of, and any who might follow them, is that God's grace has limits. It will ultimately cease to be. God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we scratch our head and shrug our shoulders and say, I wonder why God allows this religious counterfeit to continue. Why He doesn't just strike them dead? Wouldn't that be better for all? Well, not for that religious counterfeit, would it? And God loves them as much as He loves us. And He sent His Son to die for them just as much as He sent His Son to die for us. And God doesn't want them in hell. God wants them in heaven. And so He tolerates them through His mercy and grace, trying to allow them that opportunity of repentance. Our world is filled today with religious counterfeits as we live in these last days. Don't be surprised when you encounter them. And as I always warn you, be very, very careful to anyone you listen to on the radio or on the television. Go to the internet and find out who they are and what they believe, so that you don't fall prey to the religious counterfeit. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for warning us of what these days would be like, that we might avoid the pitfalls and that we might remain faithful and that we wouldn't allow any man to deceive us out of our reward. Father, bless us. Give us wisdom. Bless our nation. Father, be with our leadership, our politicians, and those that are appointed in areas of service as they try to determine what steps to take in the coronavirus pandemic. Father, we just are grateful that we're able to begin reopening different areas, churches and businesses here this week. Father, we just pray for safety and a hedge of protection. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.